الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درو شيف الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, like how Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time he was not a Muslim, but alhamdulillah later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat. He had the desire to capture Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so that he could benefit with the reward of 100 camels, the prize that was put for capturing Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, just after that event, there was another man whose name was Burayda Aslami. These are important names to remember. Burayda Aslami. Burayda Aslami came with a team of 70 men to capture Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here Suraqa bin Malik made tawbah of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The baddu'a, if you remember, that the entire horse was dragged into the ground, and Hazrat alayhi salatu wa sallam again made dua for him, and he was free to go, and he promised Hazrat alayhi salam that if anyone is following you, I will say to them that I have checked that this entire route and no one is here, no one to be found. From the other side, a team of 70 men with the leadership of Burayda bin Aslami. This man was a powerful man. He came with 70 men and all had the desire again to capture Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, preferably both of them to be alive, and to earn the reward of 100 camels. When he came close to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, in this case, Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the first one to notice him. In the case of Suraqa bin Malik, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala noticed him from the back first. And he said, and Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't fear, Allah is with us. When Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Burayda Aslami coming, Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Siddiq Akbar and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And this was the beauty of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He knew exactly what to do. One ishara of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, when to speak and when to stay quiet. And this is a great art. Where people go wrong is that we open up our mouths at the wrong time. When we are to stay quiet, sometimes we open up the mouth. And when we are to speak out, we stay quiet. And so one person says, Mali sahab, Allahu Akbar, Mali sahab not doing any qiraat. He's not saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma, it's better to stay quiet. No, in your namaz it's not better to stay quiet. Qiraat is important, wajib, right? So you might as well open your mouth here and recite the Quran. But generally, man samat an-najah, the person who stays quiet, Allah has given him salvation. That is why a lot of the akabirin, some of the akabirin was such that you'd hardly hear them speak. Men of few words, very few. There's one great buzurg, someone said to him, Hazrat, why don't you give nasihat? it will benefit the people. Hazrat looked at them and said that if I am quiet and if that does not benefit people, how will people benefit from me when I speak? Even when I am quiet, my tawajjuh is with them. And tawajjuh is also something. Tawajjuh is to look at someone with a spiritual eye. And this was given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een. That eye was very, very powerful. One is nazar, the evil eye. That is also one eye. And the other eye is the spiritual eye, which can transform a person, change him completely. And the other one is the evil eye. Jisko hum kehte hain, nazar lag gayi. Ek wo nazar hai. النظر حق اور ایک کسی نیک ولی کی نظر that changes a person and this was exactly what happened in the case of Buraida bin Aslami when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him coming Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him man anta who are you and the personality the presentation of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was such that any question put forward that person had no choice but to answer. The noor that was with Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And he says, Ana Buraida, but I am Buraida. Now in the Arabic language, Buraida means something that is cold, cool breeze. At times, it's even used for water, cold water. And when he said Buraida, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and said, well, here is Buraida. How can Buraida harm us? Water is something that benefits the human being. So Buraida is not here to harm us. Buraida is just stunned by what Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam has said and just looking at the people around him. This was the akhlaq of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, breaking everything. Such beautiful teachings of Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you are angry, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us advice, make wudu. You go to a surgeon or a doctor or a professional person and say to him, what do I do if I am angry? And they'll prescribe you some tablets. They'll give you some tablets. Or if you lene ke dene, you become so weak that anger in itself is eliminated from you. Now, anger at times is good. So when you're doing jihad and say, no, ji, kuch nahi, that's wrong. Allahu Akbar. So, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even get angry when the laws of Allah were being violated. Annahu munziru jayshin. In the hadith, it comes that sometimes when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave khutbah, there was a vein that was popping out. And that was the anger of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. And the companions would recognize that anger from the face. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, why wuzu karla? If you are standing, sit down. Subhanallah. Change your posture. Go away. Calm yourself. Such beautiful teachings. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, laysa shadeedu bis sur'ah. To be strong. To be strong physically, that does not mean that you have the power to overpower your opponent. That's not to be strong. That is not the real meaning of someone who's very powerful physically. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that that person is strong, yamliku nafsahu indal ghazab. The person who has learned to control his anger at that precise moment. When anger comes to him, he is a mighty person. He is a powerful person. Maulana Bahauddin Sahab, once the Imam of President Saddam Hussein Mosque. The Birmingham people are powerful people, and they still have a mosque in Aston named President Saddam Hussein Mosque. And these people are so tolerant. دیکھنے جائے نا ان کی خوبی ہے اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی give them ایمان you can't imagine this in a Muslim country کہ جس کے ساتھ دشمنی ہو اور پھر اسی کے نام پر مسجد ہو you can't have that In fact, in Saudi Arabia, what happens is that the beautiful names of Siddiq Akbar, once upon a time, the doors were beautifully named Bab Abu Bakr Siddiq, Bab Umar Farooq, Bab Uthman, and Bab Ali, named after Khulafa'i Rashidin. And there are four main entries to Haramain al-Sharifain. Wouldn't it be so beautiful to name the doors after these great Khulafa'i Rashidin? But no, they are named after what? The Khuddams. And you'll hardly find, it's written in a small handwriting, Bab Abu Bakr Siddiq, small. And when you go to the main gates, all colorful. Subhanallah, what is taqwa? What is ikhlas? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq. And this, the British people, they have that, mashallah, that jazba, they are tolerant. They are tolerant. And this is the freedom that you see. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's also bad. It works both ways. So Maulana Bahauddin Saab was once an imam of President Saddam Hussein Mosque. And the inauguration of that mosque was in the, I think it was in the 80s, 89 or something like that. Wallahu A'lam. But I remember that I was there at that time, and Maulana Ghulam Habib Saab was invited for the inauguration. Maulana Ghulam Habib Saab was a great sheikh. He has passed away. Maulana Bahauddin Saab once said to me that Maulana Yusuf Mutala Saab was with him in Berry. Darulum Berry is in Holkham, and then there is again in the outskirts there is another small city, Berry, and there is a town there. Students often go there and shop in that area. Maulana Yusuf Mutala Saab was with Maulana Bahauddin Saab. Now, at that time, in Berry, there were very few Muslims. Now, alhamdulillah, there is a big Pakistani population in Berry. Maulana Yusuf Saab was there with Maulana Bahauddin Saab, and he says that there was a group of white people there, and when they saw Maulana Yusuf Mutala Saab, they were swearing at him and, you know, all sorts of things, swearing at him, pointing fingers at him, and, you know, whatever they say. They say Paki and we say Napaki. Everything was going on there. Maulana Yusuf Saab was not disturbed at all. Maulana Bahauddin Saab was young and hot-tempered, and he was fuming. And he's saying, you know, what can I do? You know, and the jazba is there. But Maulana Yusuf Saab, Maulana Yusuf Saab looked at Maulana Bahauddin Saab and said, to make your parishani, what is the problem with you? And Hazrat, they are, this is the difference between Muslims and Kuffar. This is the difference between Muslims and Kuffar. Nothing. Kuch bhi nahi hua. And only then you become a sheikh. Only then you become a peer to such a level that underneath you there are great ulama who sit with great respect in front of you. And this is the barkat, the silsila, this unbroken chain coming from Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. So at the right time, anger is na'mat. At the right time, anger is na'mat. And this is the tuhfa, the gift that was given to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. So Bureida was there, and these people knew the Arabic language. They were masters in the Arabic language. He came with this jazba. That's it. 70 men. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is here, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is here, and finished. That's it. We've captured them, 100 camels for us. Now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is explaining to him what Bureida means. A lot of Muslims have names, and when you ask them, do you know what Imran means? And you say, oh no, this, that. Do you know what Umar means? Do you know what Khalid means? Do you know what Muhammad means? Subhanallah. As-salallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to him. Now, just by talking to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, that enmity slowly is dissolving. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he says, you are here to capture me. How much for what? 100 camels? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, which tribe are you connected to? Tumhara khandan kaun sa hai? And he says, I am from Min Bani Aslam. I am from the tribe of Aslam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said, Abu Bakr, look, he's from Aslam. And Aslam is the word that comes out from Islam. And Islam means to be subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to surrender. And Salama also means peace. That is why we say, As-salamu alaykum, bhai tumhare upar salamati ho. This is the best dua a Muslim can give to his brother. There is no other dua that can be compared. When you say, As-salamu alaykum. And As-salam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, it comes that when one Muslim brother does a favor to his Muslim brother, and in return that Muslim brother says to him, Jazakallahu khair. Jazakallahu khair. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith that there is no dua better than Jazakallah given to his brother. The best dua. Andana kare, what does it mean? May Allah bless you. May Allah give you everything that is beneficial for you. May Allah give you in this dunya and give you in the hereafter. This is the meaning of Jazakallah khair. So Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said, Abu Bakr, he is Bureida and he is Aslam and he is here to capture us. The two names are contradicting the actions. He is not here to capture us. What can Bureida do to us? What can water, how can water harm us? And how can Islam harm us? How can peace harm us? He is coming here with peace. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at him and saying to him, he is coming here with salamati, with peace. And that eye to eye connection, everything is being done there. Eep nigah baska. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said to him, kharaja sahmuk. Kharaja sahmuk. That your portion of Islam has been given to you, Ya Bureida. You are from the tribe of Aslam. Then Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said him, kharaja sahmuk, your portion of Islam has been given to you. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed quiet. And he said to Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, man anta? Then who are you? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ana Muhammad bin Abdullah. I am Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Rasulullah, I am the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that, he looked at Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam and he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. I bear witness, I testify that there is no God but Allah and that you are the messenger and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did bay'ah to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Kismat jaa gayi thi wahan Suraqa bin Malik ko iman us waqt nahi mila. He was not blessed with iman, but later on he was blessed with iman. And here Bureida bin Aslami, instantly on the spot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat. And when your leader is good, generally the public is also good. But if your leader is no good, then generally the effects are also on the general public. That is why Hamare Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Habib Sahab would say, if you want to see how clean that person is, the family members are in the house, then you should go and see the kitchen. You should go and see the kitchen. If the kitchen is spotless, very clean, then alhamdulillah the family members in the house are generally clean. But if the kitchen is not clean, Hazrat used to say, these are the nukat. Generally the people are not kings. Subhanallah. So the women may be listening and they can start cleaning in the heaven. Subhanallah. Ab to fuzul kharchi ki bimari lagi hai na. We have in South Africa, what used to happen? Now, when the Muslims went to Africa, they, subhanallah, absolutely took advantage of the economy of Africa. Didn't leave a single penny for the local Africans there. Yeah, in Malawi, the Muslims are enjoying the barbecue chickens and the local Africans haven't got any food. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Really. And they are tycoons, rich. And the youth, they only talk in millions. For them, what is nothing. They are only talking in millions. They talk in millions, and the local Africans, bichare. Here we could have learnt a lesson even from Mother Teresa. And some of these people. Some of the kuffar here, they've dedicated their life to animals, looking after animals, making sure that no harm comes to them. And a lot of Muslims, when they go to Africa, it was that sin. Deplete the economy, take everything out. Everything out. The kuffar, the locals haven't got anything to eat, and here the Muslims have flashy cars, massive houses, and astaghfirullah. How nice it would be if we followed the sunnah of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his time in Madinatul Munawwara said to the companions that if a visitor came to see you and you were with your slave, the visitor would have difficulty in recognizing that who is the slave and who is the master. Who is the slave and who is the master? Give them the same food. Give them your clothes to wear. And Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in would do that. The slave would wear the same clothes as the master. And in some cases, they would share the same plate. SubhanAllah. And if we did that, what the companions did, majority of the people in Africa would have all been Muslims, SubhanAllah. And we wouldn't face this difficulty. SubhanAllah al-Azim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Buraydah, and Buraydah became a Muslim. And all the 70 companions that were with him at that time, all of them in one voice said to Buraydah bin Aslami that if you have accepted Islam, all of us have become Muslims also. Dawat dekhe, in the route to Madinatul Munawwara, here now you have 71 people with Siddiqui Akbar that have all become Muslims. And Buraydah bin Aslami wanted to practice the tradition of the Arabs, that whenever the Arabs went from one area to another area, they had their flag, their banners. And he said to Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, Ya Rasulullah, it would be nice if we would also have a sign, a banner, some form of a flag so people could see us. There were a lot of local people living in and around that area. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his amama out, the cloth, and said to him, here. And he had his spear and tied the amama of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the spear, and he was marching towards Madinatul Munawwara with 70 men. Amama is a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, when you wear an amama, it's the crown of a mu'min. It's the crown of a mu'min. It's the sunnah of the malaika also. And there is this instant fear instilled in the hearts of the kuffar when you have a beard and when you wear an amama and when you stand in front of them, there is this rab. What is it? There is this awe in front of them. So it's very important that, subhanAllah, we follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continued with these 70 people, Buraydah, Aslami, with all the men that were with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went towards Madinatul Munawwara. Before reaching Madinatul Munawwara, there is one famous area known as Quba. Kya hai naam? Quba. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first got to Quba before reaching Madinatul Munawwara. In Quba, a few Ansari families were living there on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. Majority of them were the families of Hazrat Amr bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an. And when Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got there, he stayed at the house of Kulthum bin Hadaf radiallahu ta'ala an, who was at that time the leader of the tribes of that were in Quba at that time. Kulthum bin Hadaf. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and stayed at the house of Khaytham bin Asaf radiallahu ta'ala. Not to forget that Hazrat Ali was in Makkatul Mukarrama. He gave the amanat to the people and he came after 3 days. And he caught up in the journey, and when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Quba, that is the time he came also to Quba and he stayed with Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam in the house of Kulthum bin Hadam radiallahu ta'ala. One of the most famous events that had taken place in Quba was the construction of Masjid Quba. And this is one of the most beautiful masjids you'll ever see, alhamdulillah, the fazilat of it. In the ahadith, it comes that Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, usually on a Saturday, would walk it from Madinatul Munawwara, from his house, Masjid Nabwi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Quba on a Saturday, and would meet the people of Quba and would perform 2 rakats namaz there. There is a hadith which is mentioned, recorded in Ibn Majah, where Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if anyone performs 2 rakats in Masjid Quba, he gets the reward of 1 umrah. So that is why whenever one goes for ziyarat, people always pray alhamdulillah 2 rakats in Masjid Quba with this intention that inshallah they will get the reward of 1 umrah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally laid the first stone in the foundation of that masjid. The second stone was laid down by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and the third stone was laid down by Sayyidina Ali. Wrong. Hazrat Umar Farooq. Now, Quba is not far from Madinatul Munawwara. As news broke out that Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already reached Quba, majority of the famous companions, the Muhajireen, left Madinatul Munawwara to come to Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to make ziyarat for him. A lot of the companions were there now in Quba. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally took part in the building of Masjid Quba, and this ayat kareema was revealed, La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaqqu an takuma fi. The masjid which the foundation of which is laid on piety, on taqwa, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is more befitting for him to stand in that masjid, an taquma fihi, yani to stand as in to perform salat in that masjid. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even praised the community of Quba due to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them that they were very, very meticulous when it came to hygiene. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also likes those people who are very, very clean. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Amr ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala and said to him that Allah has praised you for your hygiene. How is your tahara? How do you clean yourself? And Amr ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala and said at that time, Ya Rasulullah, the locals here have this habit that we always use the special mudstone, and then after using the mudstone we use water. We use tissue paper, bhai hamare is zamane mein if you took stones, it would be difficult, isn't it? If you took stones. We use tissue paper. But in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until today in some parts of India and Pakistan and even in Afghanistan, in that area, even in Saudi Arabia, some of the Bedouins still have that habit. Hum Urdu mein kehte dhela. Kya kehte? Dhela. They would use that all the time, and then they would use water. Now that is the proper way to do istinja. They dry yourself first, what is known as istibra. What is known as istibra. It is so important, hygiene is so important. Even when we go to the masjid toilets, we have to make sure that we take our socks out, put the champal in the right area. And when you urinate, make sure that not a single drop is to touch your body. Sometimes it might not touch you on your feet, but it could touch your ijaz. So you have to be very, very careful, especially of the qatarat of pesham. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers have heard this many, many times. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the qatarat of peshab, urine drops, are connected to the punishment of the grave. The punishment of the grave. So we have to be very careful. And the people of Quba, they were very, very clean. Muslims generally are very clean, alhamdulillah, as compared to any other people. That is why Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Juma ka ghusl kya hai? Sunnat. Even Eidain, ghusl kya hai? Sunnat. Generally to make ghusl is also the sunnah. And as Muslims, we have to do wuzu all the time. 5 times a day. Aur humare khane ki wajah se to hume wuzu ki zyada zarurat hoti. So Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Quba for approximately 3 to 4 days and continued his journey towards Madinatul Munawwara. When he left Quba, a lot of the companions were with him. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed from an area where Banu Salim, the tribe of Salim, were living, the children of Salim. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his camel, Qaswa. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted them all and was about to go straight to Madinatul Munawwara. The people of Banu Salim said to Huzur alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, it is not fair for us that you stayed over with the people of Quba and you have come to us and you will not spend time with us. So we request you that you should stay with us. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stayed with the people of Banu Salim before reaching Madinatul Munawwara, and that day was Friday. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through revelation, performed his first Jummah in that area of Banu Salim. The first khutbah and the first Jummah was performed in that area where the people of Banu Salim were living. And we have some of the old photos of the masjid. The very old photo picture of Masjid-e Quba. And this is after Malik Fahad's contribution to the masjid. Dekhiye, mashallah. Pure original shape ko kya kar diya hai? Khatam kar diya. So those who have not been and who have not seen, they basically are just seeing something else. But it was built on that platform, in that area. Ye Masjid-e Quba. And Masjid-e Jumu'ah. This is Masjid-e Jumu'ah. And now they've built a new masjid on this place. Masjid-e Jumu'ah. This is where the people of Banu Salim were living. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his first Jummah. And this is the house of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll continue with Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey to Madinatul Munawwara in the next session, where Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house is used for Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam to rest in, and all the events that have taken place after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Durushayt Allah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna minal zalimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min rizaka wal-jannah. Wa na'udhu bika min gazabika wal-nar. Wa na'udhu bika min gazabika wal-nar. Wa na'udhu bika min gazabika wal-nar. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.